Are you tired of projects going off the rails? Do you want to lead your team to success every single time? In today's episode, we will reveal 8 game-changing ground rules that every seasoned project manager swears by. From establishing a clear communication channel to fostering a culture of innovation, and I promise you, family, okay, wait, no, I don't want to make that promise. I implore you to know that these strategies will transform the way you lead projects and skyrocket your team's performance. But there's a catch. You already know messing with me and talking with me, there is a catch, because there's one thing. These are not your ordinary tips. Update your project schedule. Make sure that is good. Update your project. No, we're not talking about that. We are going into some insider secrets that the top project managers use consistently to deliver outstanding results. And I'm going to share them for the first time with you. You mind if I share a story with you, family? One of the things of when you get an opportunity to lead a project, we never talk about the ground rules that are known and the ground rules that are really not known, meaning that there's a certain expectation. And what tends to happen is when we create these expectations and it's not articulated in a formable fashion in which people understand what is expected of them, then you could say they go astray. What do you mean by that, ED? Well, what I mean is that sometimes they'll have a tendency to do it the way that they want to do it instead of really coming and making certain sacrifices to collaborate together as a team. And so when I've seen this in leading different projects, what I realize is that the people that made a decision that they don't want to join the club and be collaborative, they always end up joining because they realize that it is the power in the numbers, not in the individual. Listen, project manager, you can be an island on your own, but I'll tell you this, nobody's going to pull up to your island and want to sit and communicate with you. So it's important that when you are working on ground rules and talking with people and encourage them and influencing them, that you leverage some of these points we're going to talk about today. So let's move into point number one. Point number one. Define roles and responsibilities. Listen, there's nothing really, it's very important to have a RACI. Now, that doesn't have to happen on every project, but you need to understand who is doing what. Sometimes we could just throw a RACI out there and we never really go back and revisit it. So besides having a RACI, here's a bonus on top of that. Understand what people's role is as far as what they're supposed to be delivering to you. And then put that in either in an Excel document or put it into your Microsoft project, whatever it looks like for you. But I always recommend an Excel document first. It depends. And again, this is depending on the organization that you're a part of. When you have it in an Excel document, most of the time it's easier for people to go and add on or make adjustments as they see fit. But this really gives each team member a clear understanding of their specific role and the task they are responsible for completing. Here's another tip on top of that. Ensure teams have the necessary skill, knowledge, as well as resources to fulfill their assignments and their assigned roles, and responsibility. Point number two, define expectation for attendance and punctuality. I shared a story a while back where I would always have this stakeholder that would come to the meetings late or would not even come to the meetings. And when they came to the meeting, they was very disruptive in a way of they would always be late. So we would start maybe a minute or two after the scheduled meeting and they would show up 10 to 15 minutes late. And then they would want us to really regurgitate the information that we just literally just discussed. And it got to a point at first, a couple of times I let it go because I really believe that you can get caught up in another meeting. But then after I started getting feedback from the team, hey, this gentleman is disrupting the flow of our meeting and they're not really bringing any value to the meeting. They're just trying to catch up with where they're at. So what I did is I met with that stakeholder one-on-one and I said, hey, if you're not able to make it on time, we will not be going back and rediscussing everything. What we can do, though, to assist you is we can record the meeting and you can go back and listen to the first 10 minutes. You see what I did there, family, is there's a problem. The problem was this particular stakeholder was disruptive. The solution was first I met with him one-on-one. And then second, I provided a good solution was I'll record the meeting in which you can listen back for the first 10 or 15 minutes that you missed. So I say all that to say what we're talking about in point number two is defining the expectation for attendance and punctuality, because what you want to do is clearly communicate the expectations for attendance and punctuality and holding team members accountable for these meetings with the expectation that you all agreed on collectively. Let's move on to point number three. Establish a policy for handling conflicts and disagreements. Now listen, one thing we all understand is if you're new to this, then what you will understand is that you will have conflicts, you will have disagreement. And sometimes you need to find ways to, not sometimes, all the time, you need to dissolve these conflicts before they turn into something bigger than which you cannot control. So conflicts and disagreements are a natural part of any team project, and having a clear process for resolving them can help prevent them from escalating. Why I recommend developing a resolution policy? Because it outlines the steps for addressing conflicts, such as identifying the issue, discussing openly, being transparent, and being honest, and finding a mutual acceptable solution. And that is key, family. Having the ability to put together a mutual acceptable solution is what is going to get the other person or the people that are having this conflict or disagreement to come to a certain agreement. And they may not agree with it. They may push back still, but you still got to keep working that issue and making it better. Point number four, define expectations for work hours and availability. Listen, you want to be able to clearly define work hours and availability. This really helps the team, because it helps the team to know when they could collaborate effectively, and it keeps the project, it allows the project to stay on schedule, because this is what you're doing. You're communicating the expected hours and availability for each team member and establishing a process for requesting time off or accommodating any personal commitments. Things are going to happen when you're leading project. People are going to want to take time off. People may not feel well. There could be a plethora of things that may come up. They may get moved to another project, or they may be in a balancing act where they're splitting their time, so their bandwidth is, as I say, under attack. So you want to be flexible in your work arrangement. You don't want it to be so stringent that you're like, oh, you need to be here. No, we need to ensure that we can accommodate team members. But that is the conjunction here, still holding people accountable for being present and executing on the thing that they made a commitment to. Point number five, define a process for providing feedback and recognition. One of the things I love doing, especially normally I do it at the middle and near when we get to the end, and then at the end, is providing some type of feedback, positive feedback, constructive feedback on how this particular stakeholder was really impactful, influenced, and just really making a commitment and not being interested in the project. This happens a lot, where I will see a project manager, they won't even send a little message to that stakeholder's direct report to say, hey, I'm so grateful and thankful that you allowed this person to be here. Let me tell you what they've done for us this far. Because again, this is going to create the energy and the respect from your stakeholder to say, at least somebody is watching what I'm doing. So being able to provide regular feedback and recognition helps keep team members, watch this family, motivated as well as engaged. Let's move on to point number six. Establish a system for documenting and sharing knowledge. I always say that, family, that project managers can get caught up in this, all of these documents. I do believe documentation beats conversation any and every day. However, where are you storing this at? And how are you ensuring that there's some type of knowledge management system? One of the things I like to do is if most organizations may have a SharePoint, a share file, leveraging Teams, but you want to be able to store and organize these project documents, templates, and any other resources that the team is working on, whether it's collaborative or non-collaborative, because what you want to be able to do is not be someone that is in the middle, or as I call it, a interruption. What is an interruption? Have you ever been sitting at home and someone rings your doorbell or knocks on your door and says, hey, I'm here and you're working on something and you're like, oh, let me go see who's at the door. And somebody is here to either pitch you something, or basically what they did was interrupt your flow of what you were in. And so you don't want to be that individual that interrupts someone's flow. So when someone says, hey, where's that project charter at? Hey, go to, here's the link. Here's all of the documents, project artifacts that are in place. Hey, where's the project status report from last week? Hey, here's the link. Basically, eventually they're going to get to a point where they're not even going to come to you. They're going to know that, hey, oh, it's on the share file or SharePoint or Teams particular site. Let's move on to point number 7, fostering a culture of accountability and ownership. Message. Family, if you're new to the episode, anytime that I say message, this is something you want to lock in. This is something you want to pay attention to because of the simple fact that fostering a culture of accountability and ownership, when a team member feels accountable and takes ownership for their work, they're more likely to deliver high quality results, to go above and beyond and ensure the project's success. So how do we get there? Here's an actionable tip. Clearly define each team member's responsibility, as we talked about with the RACI. Yet, here's the big part, though. Hold them accountable for meeting their commitments, not their interests. A lot of times we can get held up in holding people accountable for their interests. They're just interested. When someone is interested, I always use the example, if you decided to jump in a pool or just go for a swim, sometimes most people will put their foot in to test to see how cold the water is or how cold it is not. But a commitment is to say, hey, I don't care how cold the water is. I don't care how warm it is. I've made a commitment to jump in the pool or go swimming. So I'm jumping in my whole body and I'll feel the effects when I get there. That's a commitment. Meaning, family, we have to work on holding people accountable for the commitment they said that they were going to do. Let's move on to point number 8. This is my favorite one of all of them. So if you stayed this long, I thank you for this opportunity to really articulate this point. Encourage a culture of transparency and honesty. Again, family, this is not going to happen overnight. I wish I could say it happened in a month or a week or 2 weeks. This is going to have to be you building up that particular transparency and honesty to help build trust and ensure everyone is working towards the same goal. How do we do this? We encourage open and honest communication by creating a safe and supportive environment for team members to share their thoughts, ideas, and concerns. I have one bonus, family, before I give you my closing remarks. Bonus. We need to define a process for onboarding new team members. There's something out there called the Tuckerman's model. Tuckerman model basically is more or less when you go through these different stages, forming, storming, norming, adjoining, and you get it from there. I can slow it down. I'll slow it down. Forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. See, what happens is anytime you introduce a new resource, you could be at the performing stage and you have to start all the way at the beginning because you've introduced a new resource. Finding a process for onboarding new team members is going to be key, whether that's a checklist, whether that's onboarding tasks, whether that's partnering them up with a mentor or a buddy, and providing the proper project tools and resources for them to be successful. Here's my three closing remarks. Establishing a policy for handling conflicts and disagreement. Family, this doesn't have to be a written verbatim policy. It could be three things to say, hey, if we have an issue, the first stage is we're going to talk one-on-one. The second stage is going to be if the one-on-one doesn't work, then we're going to go to the escalation stage, which I'll talk to your manager. If that doesn't work, the third step is, now I'm going to get the rest of the team, or I should say the PMO, involved so we can handle this accordingly. So again, family, you want to have something in place when conflicts and disagreements come about. My next point, define expectations for attendance and punctuality. As I stated to you earlier, if your team is not there, how can you collaborate effectively? If your team is not there, how can you guys collaboratively work together to solve problems, risk, and issues that may come up? So having the ability to define expectations of attendance really allows the project to stay on point. And my last and final one, foster a culture of accountability and ownership. Listen, when someone knows that this is their thing, this is what they're responsible for delivering, the majority of the time, they're going to take pride in their work. They're going to want to deliver a high quality result and go above and beyond. So family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. And again, thank you so much.